Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text is the Gospel just read from Matthew 17. The transfiguration of our Lord was vindication for all of the Old Testament saints of God, represented on that mountain by Moses and Elijah. Moses representing the law, and Elijah representing the prophets, all the prophets of God. Both of them, both Moses and Elijah, had had moments where the Lord vindicated them in the sight of people. Moses was vindicated when his brother Aaron and his sister Miriam rebelled against him and complained. And this is from Numbers chapter 12, beginning with the first verse. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman whom he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. And they said, "Has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also?" And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek, more than all the people who were on the face of the earth. And suddenly the Lord said to Moses and to Aaron and Miriam, "Come out, you three, to the tent of meeting." And the three of them came out, and the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance of the tent and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forward. And he said, "Hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, clearly, and not in riddles, and he beholds the form of the Lord. Why, then, were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. When the cloud was removed from over the tent, behold, Miriam was leprous like snow. And Aaron turned toward Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Moses was vindicated in the sight of people who were rising up against him, even from his own household. A similar thing happened for Elijah during his ministry. With the prophets of Baal in 1 Kings chapter 18. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." And the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, "I, even I only, am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let two bowls be given us, and let them choose one bowl for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on the wood, but put no fire to it. And I will prepare the other bowl and lay it on the wood and put no fire to it. And you call upon the name of your God, and I will call upon the name of the Lord. And the God who answers with fire, he is God." And all the people answered, "It is well spoken." Jumping down to verse 36. "And at the time of the offering of the oblation, Elijah the prophet came near and said, 'O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back.' Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, 'The Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God.'" How great it must have been on those days when Moses was vindicated as God's servant and when Elijah was vindicated as God's prophet. But those times didn't last. Those were moments in their ministries. And there were also many other times when they were rebelled against, when they were put to shame in front of the people. They experienced these moments of vindication, but Moses and Elijah ultimately are vindicated on the Mount of Transfiguration. When they are granted this privilege to stand before the glorified Son of God and hear the Father's voice say, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." That is the vindication of their entire ministry, of Moses being the law and Elijah standing in for the prophets, because the Lord's plan has been fulfilled. The Father's declaration affirms that this is he who would not destroy the law, but fulfill it. And this is he whom the prophets foretold and longed to see, but were not given the sight to see until John the Baptist. Well, vindication is great. It's great to know that you follow the true God, but that vindication doesn't always happen in this life. Not all of the prophets were vindicated, and Jeremiah is an example of that. This is from Jeremiah chapter 20. "Now Pashur, the priest, the son of Immer, who was chief officer in the house of the Lord, heard Jeremiah prophesying these things, namely that Israel would go into exile and that Jerusalem would be destroyed. Then Pashur beat Jeremiah, the prophet, and put him in the stocks that were in the upper Benjamin gate of the house of the Lord. The next day when Pashur released Jeremiah from the stocks, Jeremiah said to him, 'The Lord does not call your name Pashur, but terror on every side. For thus says the Lord, behold, I will make you a terror to yourself and all your friends, and they shall fall by the sword of their enemies while you look on. And I will give all Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon. He shall carry them captive to Babylon and shall strike them down with the sword.'" Despite the many condemnations that Jeremiah spoke and the fact that he was speaking for the true God, he was still continually arrested, put in stocks, beaten, and even lowered into a pit. And then finally, at the end of his ministry, he was carried off to Egypt, the place where he had told the Israelites not to go. He was carried off by a band of rabble against his will. All of this led Jeremiah to cry out against the Lord. Cry out not against as in unbelief, but listen to this. Also from chapter 20, verse 7. "O Lord, you have deceived me, and I was deceived. You are stronger than I, and you have prevailed. I have become a laughingstock all the day. Everyone mocks me. For whenever I speak, I cry out, I shout, violence and destruction. For the word of the Lord has become a reproach and derision all day long." Jeremiah did not see vindication in his life, except that Jerusalem was carried off. But the lesson for us is that vindication, because we belong to the true God, doesn't always happen. We don't always see that. We may hold fast to the word of the Lord. We may hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. And yet we still suffer. We are children of the true Heavenly Father. And yet we still experience reproach. As a congregation that remains faithful to the Word of God, numbers are shrinking. And at the same time, we see numbers increasing at churches that pick and choose what parts of the Bible they want to believe. They deny Christ's sacraments. They keep children from the baptismal font. And then they use people's emotions through the music to have them be deluded into thinking that God is with them because they feel it. Christians in society also experience the same disillusionment. This is a Sunday set aside for the sanctity of life. And as Christians who believe what God says in His Word, we rightly oppose abortion. We rightly oppose euthanasia and all the forms where man takes life into his own hands, even though God hasn't given it to us. Just recently, we have a special election in Oregon for Measure 101, where it asks permission, after the fact, to allow for the most liberal abortion laws in the entire country. Well, of course, the world sees this as health care, and it sees Christians as backward. But we take a moral stand against it because of what the Lord says, and we bear reproach because of that. It also happens when we take a stand against the queer movement that's so popular in the world around us, as Concordia Portland did recently, when they tried to shut down a gay pride club. Then social media rose up and protests happened so that the sons of Sodom gloat about how they had victory over the administration, and they pressured the administration at CU Portland into getting their own way. We don't see victory because of the truth yet. Just like the Israelites didn't see victory as they were being carried off to Babylon, even though they had the promise that God would bring them back 70 years later. They didn't see the Christ for whom they hoped. They didn't see the end of God's plans. But in the Transfiguration, Peter, James, and John saw that what God had promised before of old through Moses and the prophets, He had indeed fulfilled. So for us, who are in Christ in these dark and latter days, we are waiting for God to reveal His truth visibly. But we're not left in the dark and uncertain, as if we have to follow every whim of doctrine that comes along and think, maybe God's there, maybe God's there. Peter tells us very clearly in the epistle how we can hear God's voice even in times like this. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For when He received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to Him by the majestic glory, "This is My beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased," we ourselves heard this very voice, born from heaven, for we were with Him on the holy mountain. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. In the darkness of our present life as Christians in this world, we can't see the ending. We wait for the end time with eager expectation, and we look for the day when we can rest from our toil and our labor and our pain as we follow Jesus. But our one true light in the darkness is God's Word. Just as the Father said to the disciples, "Listen to Him." So we do well when we listen to Him and hear Jesus only. When we hold fast to His word, then we are indeed on the right track. Despite what the world may say, despite what doubts may rise up in our hearts because of unbelief, just as the true sons of Israel were faithful to God by keeping his word, so it is for us until the last day, when we wait for it to dawn and Christ to appear. Now, even though Jeremiah didn't see his vindication, he still had hope. He still had faith in his God. And a few verses later, back in chapter 20, he says, "But the Lord is with me as a dread warrior. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble. They will not overcome me. They will be greatly shamed, for they will not succeed. Their eternal dishonor will never be forgotten. O Lord of hosts, who tests the righteous, who sees the heart and the mind, let me see your vengeance upon them, for to you have I committed my cause." God is your strength in the weakness of this life. He is your light in this darkness, and he is your vindicator for all eternity. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.